Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Hello, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon, Hank.
You like the way I hit eavesdropper?
I love that because it was perfect. I was going to tell you that I had a great eavesdropping experience yesterday walking across campus. I was walking in front of a couple students and they were chatting. It was a guy and a girl and, you know, just talking about school and their classes and the things that go on. And the young man said, I have this weird English teacher and she always have a stop in the middle of class and do yoga. Isn't that weird? And the girl says, yeah, that sounds really strange. She goes, yeah, but I guess it's kind of cool. She goes, yeah, I guess that's cool too. Yeah, that's weird. And then they kept walking and then they talk about things and they randomly says, you know what I think? I think that all the professors that have beards are the coolest. I mean, who wants to miss out on that kind of exchange?
That's pretty cool, yeah.
You got to be listening in to what's going on around you. So I do appreciate the emphasis today. And I also appreciate that every week when I show up, our greeting to each other is Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Because I do look forward to coming in. It feels special. Tuesdays feel special to me because we get to do this every week.
What about what I always say to you just before we go on the air?
Well.
do you need to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's a little TMI, eh? and I always do. But yeah, I love our Happy Tuesdays. And thank you for tuning in and joining us this week for a conversation with a reluctant therapist. Today's show was inspired by the incredible changes in direction my life has taken because of random conversations with strangers. And I was thinking, if you listen a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Emily Mumford from the Southern Poverty Law Center. And she lives in Selma, Alabama, and works in Montgomery. And I met her this summer when my husband and I were driving through the South. We went to the Civil Rights Memorial Museum. And she was working there. And after we went through this museum, I just struck up a conversation with her for no apparent reason. We just said something random and we started talking. And it's led to this really beautiful connection between the two of us and had her on the air. And now we're doing some collaboration of potential things with Cal Poly and bringing SPLC to the students. And just, it's been a very fruitful and exciting and, heartwarming experience. And so I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about all of the random conversations that I've had in my life and just over the time we've been doing the show and people I've struck up conversations with that have changed my life, that have either been healing or inspiring or informational or just a way of feeling validated, these wonderfully random conversations with strangers. And I was thinking about it in the context of my students, because every quarter I assign them a tech fast where they have to go off all of their electronics for 24 hours in the hopes that they will have conversations with the other students that they're going to school with that in some way aren't really strangers because they share this common experience of being students, but they're strangers because they haven't taken the time to introduce themselves. And I also have all of my students turn off their phones before class and take the time to introduce themselves to the people sitting next to them, because I believe so strongly in the power of communication and conversation and meeting someone who might change your life. And it concerns me that it's so easy for us to avoid conversations because we have the instant go-to of our phones. And believe me, I have been a go-to phone person on more than one occasion since I've had this phone. And so I understand the pull to wanting to kind of bury yourself in something so that you don't have to engage another human being or what might be an awkward situation. I get that. But I also feel like I would have been so sad, or maybe I wouldn't be sad because I wouldn't know the wonderful people that I've had brief encounters with or long encounters with because of the opportunity to have a stranger conversation. And I think about our children and things that we taught them growing up, and the term stranger danger keeps popping up into my head, that was something we told our children, don't speak to strangers, you know, that they're going to be dangerous. And so we start ingraining in our children from a very early age that someone we don't know is scary, right? We first and foremost say someone we don't know is dangerous or potentially going to harm you. And so what a terrible way to go throughout your life and go into your adulthood having this message that that strangers are dangerous. And the thing that's interesting is that we do all of this, you know, stranger awareness with our kids. But they've done studies that have shown that no matter how much we talk to our children about, you know, being wary of situations and don't talk to strangers and don't get into cars, they've done studies that show that a child may have all of this information and then they go to a park and a man pulls up with a van that has a bunch of puppies in it and boom, all bets are off. The kids tend to run to the puppies. They still are pulled in by that. So what is an alternative way that we can help our children to engage in the world around them, to not grow up with a fear of the unknown or fear of strangers, but still have some cautious awareness, you know, of those things around them? I mean, there has to be a dance. So I think this is a broad and wonderful conversation to have today about those random conversations with strangers. You know, some of them are just one-time interactions. You just speak for a period of time and then you never see each other again. But some of these random conversations are the beginning of a beautiful relationship or an introduction to a new passion or an introduction to a new idea or an opportunity. So I thought I'd tell you some of my random conversations to kind of get you a little bit inspired, and then we'll open up the phones to hear about your random conversations and where they led you to. When have you been affected by a conversation with a stranger? What has been a random conversation that has changed your life? I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. We get together every Tuesday at 2 to talk about those things that go on in our lives, our interactions, our exchanges, the things we struggle with, our challenges, and sometimes just the things that make life really fun, the things that make life really worth living. So hopefully that's going to be part of our conversation today. And you can also participate in our conversation if you like our Facebook page. I post our shows each week there so you can keep up on what's happening. We have a web page, thereluctanttherapist.com, that posts information. You can leave me a message there. You can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Always happy to hear from you. We are now podcasting the show because we're so 21st century. So if you can't stream it live, you can go in and download and podcast and listen on your devices whenever you want through iTunes. The Reluctant Therapist should come up. I think we're in two places right now, but we're working on that. But all the shows are there. Most of the new shows are there. And you can always go to kcbx.org, our wonderful website, and look under the News and Talk tab, and our shows are there. So it's a lot of ways to be a part of this community, and I look forward to hearing from you, either on the phone or in some other manner. And our number to be part of the conversation is 805-781-3875. So let me start off telling you a little bit about the phenomenon of stranger conversations, because there actually is maybe not a science, but there's a philosophy behind why these experiences are so powerful. And so when I'm teaching listening skills or I'm teaching basic counseling skills, I always draw on the work of Martin Buber, who was considered a philosopher and a theologian. But according to Martin Buber, he didn't like either of those titles because he didn't like ideas. He only liked experiences. And he talked a lot about because he was more of a philosopher, his ideas are very lofty and sometimes difficult to grasp. So I try to boil down my Martin Buber experience in such a way that my students can access it. So I'm going to bubble down my Martin Buber experiences for you. So if you are a Martin Buber expert, I apologize for trying to take his very complex ideas and narrow them down. But I really want to share kind of the essence of his idea that some of our most powerful experiences in life come from interactions with strangers. He wrote about, you know, the stranger on the train experience, if you've ever heard that. He wrote about two men who, you know, are sharing a train seat. And the first man is by nature very receptive and present. He's available. He has that kind of spirit of openness. And the other man by nature is usually more barricaded from others. But the second man can feel the first man's receptiveness. He feels that sense of openness and presence and opens up to him. Just this wordless knowing that you can approach someone is kind of the essence of that stranger on the train. And in that moment, these two men share a profound conversation. And in some ways, it's often more of a monologue than a conversation. When you have that stranger on the train experience, you may just tell your story. You may just feel compelled to open up to someone and start talking about your life or something that you're challenged with, something that's going on, a grief that you're experiencing. You have this opportunity with someone who has wordlessly let you know by their energy and presence that they're available for that kind of conversation. And by having this exchange, this opportunity where the person may not even reply or offer anything back, but just to sit and hear the story and hold that story, that is enough for the person speaking to feel like they've been unburdened. They've shared their soul. They've deeply connected with another individual in a way that changes their life. And they'll never see that person again on the train. They get up and leave and they go on, but they go back into their life and they're profoundly changed in really deep ways. And I talk about this with my student, this experience, because it's a way of listening, a way of being in our bodies that allows us to let other people know that we are present and available, that we are receptive, that our hearts are open, that we can be approached. And for a lot of people, that is a natural temperament or state, that they're just born with that way of being. For other people, they have to kind of learn that receptive, reflective style of listening where they can put aside their own life story, right? We can put aside our worries or our concerns or our noise in our head. We can put those things aside and really just be present to hear someone else. Because in our modern day world, we tend to be so caught up in all the noise and things that are happening or unfinished business in our own lives that when someone comes to have a conversation with us, we tend to interject our experience. We tend to interject our thoughts and feelings about what the other person is trying to tell us, or we relate it to something that's happening to us. And that's different than allowing someone the space to really just unburden themselves with their story by just holding that space. And in a therapeutic context, we're really trying to create that space for someone to talk. And not just talk, but talk in such a way that they get to hear themselves and their story and sit with it. And so I use this example of the stranger on the train as to why therapy quite often can be such a powerful experience. Because the reason someone can unburden themselves or tell their story to a stranger on the train, or quite often a therapist, is because there are no expectations of you when you're speaking to a stranger, right? You have no history with each other. You have no judgment of how this person's supposed to behave. You're not vested in their future or their life, right? You're not their parent or their spouse or their brother or their sister or their best friend or their lover. So you don't have anything you need from them or any way you need for them to be. And so when you don't have any expectations, you can just listen purely from your heart and hear this person speak as a human, just another being. And when we try to tell things to people who are vested in our lives, we quite often, you know, we filter, we hold things back to make sure the other person is not uncomfortable or doesn't think less of us or doesn't change, you know, how they relate or respond to us. We have to maintain our authority in a lot of situations. So it's very challenging to really have an authentic, deep, genuine conversation with people who are very close to us in our lives, which is ironic, right? It's a little contradictory that we think those that we're most intimate with are the people we share our deepest ideals with. But quite often there are things about our story that we really only feel safe sharing with someone who's a stranger. Martin Buber talks about that opportunity to speak with another person, how that wordless knowing when you sit with someone, you can feel that they're receptive. The person who finds himself being open and receptive finds himself being alert to the other. They are aware of their own life and their own story, but there is, it's such peace with that story that you can put it aside and you sit in such a way that you can sense when someone has something to say to you. You can feel that. You can feel that they're bringing some part of your destiny to you. Those are Buber's words, that you must be open and receptive, both passive and active, that you don't just sit stone cold and listen, but you sit in such a way that your nonverbal language is one of receptiveness and openness. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So understanding this idea of the stranger on the train experience is how I introduced to my students this idea of how can we make people feel safe and comfortable enough to tell their story to us. And that same thing has been true in many parts of my life. And I'm sure as you're listening, you're thinking the same thing of times that someone has sat down and told you their story. And you wonder, wow, how did that come about? And I feel so honored. Or maybe you've had an opportunity where you've been able to tell your story to someone sitting next to them on an airplane, or having a Forrest Gump experience sitting on a bench at the bus stop. There must be a time that you've experienced one of those things, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you haven't developed that opportunity or that experience or that skill of that wordless knowing, of being able to connect with a stranger in such a way that you can strike up that conversation. Or maybe you're just a little bit shy and you've had that feeling and felt like it wasn't appropriate to strike up the conversation. I think about elevators, which are great stranger on the train opportunities, and they're super, super brief. But why is it our social norm, right, to not speak to anyone in the elevator when you could be standing next to your future best friend? When we talk about the one-time interactions, it's a chance to know yourself in a new way, right? A way that you've never been able to experience yourself before. So from the Martin Buber stranger on the train perspective, I'll tell you a couple. And one of the most interesting things, and I think maybe a lot of therapists have this experience growing up, is that my family will laugh at me that every time we fly somewhere, long distance fly cross country, if I get up to go to the restroom at any time, they know I'm not going to return for about an hour because for whatever reason, flight attendants feel very comfortable telling me their story. Now, maybe it's because I really don't enjoy flying that much, and so I have all of my, you know, radars going, or I seem very receptive and open to some sort of interaction with another human. But for whatever reason, I've had a lot of really powerful opportunities to hear the life stories of flight attendants around the country, and I feel really honored by that. For myself, I remember being in a strange city. And I don't travel by myself often, but I was doing a trip by myself and I was kind of wandering around, not really sure what to do. And I was feeling a little uncomfortable and unsure. And I sat down and this man walked over and sat down. And just for some reason, he felt very warm next to me. That's all I can say is he felt very warm in a very just like friendly way, not the other kind of warm where there would be heat, but more just warm. And I just started talking to him. And we just talked, and I told him a lot of things about my life and about ending up here in this strange city and, the kind of learning about myself away from my family. And it was just this kind of long, hour-long conversation that weaved in and out and told me about his life. And then after an hour, it kind of got cold, and we said, nice to meet you. Didn't even exchange names or information. We walked away. And it was really powerful because I left that feeling like I was going to be fine, that I could handle this traveling by myself, that I was going to make it through the evening and be successful and things would be fine. And it really changed a lot of my sense of confidence and that sense of who I am away from my family or other people with whom I identify myself. To be just a stranger and to be received in that way was amazing. If you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. So I'd love to hear from you. Let's open up those phone lines. Have you had an experience, stranger on the train, like where you've struck up a random conversation with a stranger and it changed your life in some way or touched you in a deep way or made an impact that has stayed with you for a long time? 805-781-3875. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. 805-781-3875. So the other parts of the random conversations with strangers that I wanted to talk about are the ones that have been life-changing and led to meaningful connections, like I mentioned earlier with my conversation with Emily Mumford. But again, I go back to this idea of how we teach our children about making relationships or conversations or stranger danger, who not to talk to, who not to engage in. I think about in high school, I was at a, I can't remember if it was a basketball game or a football game. I was at some sort of game, and I was sitting in the stands, and I started talking to the man sitting next to me. For some reason, all of my random conversations seem to be with men at this point. But I struck up the conversation with this man, and it turned out he did a radio station, an AM radio broadcast, of all the high school sports in the area. He was covering a lot of high school sports, and we just started talking about sports and doing that, and I was an athlete. And so he ended up saying, you know, I need someone to do play-by-play or color for girls volleyball, women's volleyball, because I don't have anyone right now. Would you want to try it? And I was just a 16-year-old high school student, and I said, yeah, I'll try that. And so I ended up working for this man through high school, and it kind of opened the doors to where I am today, sitting in this chair talking to you. And it was just a random conversation that I struck up with this person that opened a door that changed my life. Another one of those random life-changing events is meeting my husband. And again, for most of us, our spouse would be someone who was a stranger before we had that initial conversation. And it's the same thing. I met my husband standing in his driveway. I never knew he existed. I had run an errand for my brother and ran into this guy. And he actually struck up the conversation with me. I thought he was a little bit different and odd, but we kept the conversation going, and the rest is history 35 years later. And if I had had a phone, I might have probably looked in my pocket for a way to distract myself, because he wasn't someone that I generally would have struck up a conversation with. But he kind of stuck with it, and I didn't have a phone to escape to, and so we stuck with it. And again, I think about all those missed opportunities that my students are having on this campus of meeting really profoundly interesting people. So I'm curious to know, what are your experiences with this random conversation with strangers? And what about our children? You know, what do we do with this next generation that has it far too easy to hide away from having to engage in the greater world around them? 805-781-3875. Leah, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hello. Thank you for the show. I love it. I had a wonderful experience by way of striking up a conversation with a little lady who was nursing her baby in the Sears restroom at about Christmas time, and I was expecting, and I hadn't told anyone but the prospective father, and she ended up being a lay midwife, and she attended my birth and mothered me afterwards, and we struck up a wonderful relationship that lasted for years, and she was at the birth of my second child also.
And so what inspired you to even say anything to her when you first saw her in the restaurant?
Well, knowing that I was expecting, and I was young, I was 18, I just was, of course, drawn to her in the maternal way that she was nursing her baby. And so, of course, I asked how old she was. And then when she offered her personal information, she said she was a lay midwife. And so we contacted her later to attend both of our births of our children.
I love that. Leah, thank you so much for sharing your random conversation. I appreciate you taking the time to call. You know, and that's a great example of the random conversation, because there is a place that it would not be the social norm to strike up a conversation with someone in the restroom at the Sears. I'm thinking of places I've been where maybe I should have struck up a conversation. I don't know. Thank you, Leah, for calling in. 805-781-3875. What do you think about these random conversations and talking to strangers? Or maybe, is it just me? Am I out of my head? Should I not be talking to strangers on a regular basis? I do, as I said, I spend time eavesdropping, but the conversations can be just as fun. And it was interesting because I was walking between classes the other day, and I have quite a long hall from one end of campus to the other, and it was hot, as it's been. I don't remember it not being hot now. And so I had taken my shoes off and I was going up the hill, and a man, oh my gosh, it's the story now. It's all about men talking to me. Then another man comes up behind me and just struck up a conversation, said something about my shoes being off. And we just, you know, exchanged niceties, but then come to find out that he had spent his life as a rancher and had decided after 25 years that his kids weren't going to take over the property, and so that wasn't going to be passed on. So he decided to come back to Cal Poly and start a whole nother career and a whole nother life in a different direction. And it was so fascinating. And then I exchanged a little bit about why I was there and coming back and becoming a lecturer after raising my children and kind of having a whole new opportunity or experience in my life. And it was this great little 10-minute talk as we walked up the hill and we went our separate directions. And it just kind of made my day to have that brief conversation with someone and to hear their story and to know that, you know, as I look around campus at the 15,000 people that are there, that there are 15,000 different stories of why these people are on campus or what it means to them or what they're learning or who they were before they came there. And of course, then it makes me want to run around and talk to everybody, which would make me look like a loon. But anyway, I just think that these little moments are what make life worth living. If we're talking about how do we build our sense of emotional stability, how do we build our sense of well-being, right? Our mental health, how do we support our feelings, our emotions, so that we stay healthy and receptive? Because it's easy to dip, right? It's easy to feel depressed. It's easy to feel anxious because there's a lot going on. Life can feel very stressful. So it's amazing how taking the time to connect to another human being can lift our serotonin, our dopamine, give us that burst of these good feeling chemicals that help make our days worthwhile, that can change the direction of our days. 805-781-3875. Hi, Ed, you're on the air. What's on your mind? What's your story?
I was on a plane coming back from Thailand, and I sat down next to a monk, a Thai Buddhist monk. And since I used to live there, I was a Peace Corps volunteer there. I speak Thai, and so we started talking all the way from Thailand to the U.S., and it's about that flight was about 18 hours, and so we really had a lot to talk about. And I'm a Christian, but I really enjoyed my whole time in Thailand, spending a lot of time with monks. And this guy was headed for Berkeley to a Thai monastery there. He's still there now, for all I know. But it was just fascinating to talk to him and learn more over an extended period of time about what Buddhism is like and how that can contribute to your life. And later on, like a year later, I was here in Morro Bay, where I live, and I was at the blessing of a Thai restaurant, and who shows up from Berkeley but this very same monk? And it was just a really wonderful homecoming. And since I was a park ranger most of my life, I'm really gregarious. I love talking to strangers anywhere and everywhere. So that was my experience. And I just encourage everybody to not be afraid to break through those boundaries and start talking to somebody.
Absolutely. And it's nice, Ed, that you recognize that you are the person Martin Buber would say has the temperament to the receptive heart, that you present yourself as someone who's willing to engage.
Yeah, and we wound up speaking in English most of the time because his English was better than my Thai. And he was just so thrilled to be talking to somebody that wasn't intimidated by his robes or all the trappings of monkhood, because they're just, you know, they're people like you and I, and it goes the same with everybody that we meet out in the world. We're all on the same planet trying to get from one place to the next, and we have so much more in common than we think.
That's true. And Ed, was there a takeaway that changed your life at all after that 18-hour conversation? Was there something that shifted your feelings or thoughts?
Yes, and you would have thought that I would have already got that, having lived in Thailand for so long and spent a lot of time in the monasteries. There's so many ways to incorporate other people's cultures and even their religious beliefs into your own and make that a, not, I don't want to say win-win, but it actually enhances your own beliefs and your own faith. I was listening to a program down in New Mexico about a Navajo reservation in which the pastor in there incorporated Native American beliefs into their sermon. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's my takeaway. Yeah. And that is to not be stuck in all the dogma of your particular religion, but to incorporate elements of other faiths that enhance your own feelings and your own faith.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for taking the time to call and sharing your stranger on the train, or actually stranger on the airplane story.
Right.
Enjoy your day. If you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. We're talking about random conversations with strangers and how they impacted our life. 805-781-3875. Alan, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
I wanted to share a story about the time when I was hiking at Montana de Oro, and I got to the end of the Point Bouchon Trail, where there's a gorgeous view of the ocean, and I was eating my lunch, and a couple minutes later, this woman came to the end of the trail as well, and she sat on the bench that was there. I was not on the bench, and I'm 33. She was probably maybe in her 60s, and she had binoculars, and she was watching something in the distance, and she said, oh, there's whales out there breaching, coming out of the water. And she offered to have me look through her binoculars, which I thought was very nice because I'm very shy ordinarily. And so I looked through the binoculars, and we were looking at this amazing sight of the whales together. And then we just started talking. I forget exactly how it began, but we just started talking, and I shared with her that I had just had a really important job interview, and she asked me about that, and I talked about why I was moving away from where I had been living before, and I shared that I was going through a divorce, and she shared some difficulties that she had been having with her marriage, and we talked about things like, is monogamy actually possible, and how do you stay married, or do you even get married? And I forget how it came about, but I ended up sharing with her that I am transgender. And, I mean, normally I would not share that with a stranger, but I just felt that I just had a sense that she might be accepting, which she was. And then she asked me some questions about it, and we had a nice conversation. So it was just really cool to be able to be so open with a stranger about such personal things, mm-hmm. like marriage and being transgender. She was a really, really cool person.
Martin Buber would be proud of you because that is the essence of what he says, this moment where the person has nothing else but the other in mind, and there's no future, there's no past, there's just that moment where you see each other for who you are, and it's powerful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I was thinking about this experience of mine when you were talking about all that guy had said, you know, like the feeling that the other person is receptive. I mean, it's totally right on. It's cool how that happens sometimes.
Absolutely. And you were wise enough to feel that receptiveness and reciprocate.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Thank you for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, Alan. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Timothy, you're on the air. What's your story today?
Hi, Elizabeth. Hi. I've got my head in a pear tree again. listen, I love your show. It's just so informative and so good for everybody to hear.
Thank you.
I live isolated on a ranch, but I have a place in San Luis, and often I'm in town walking around, you know, going to the theater or restaurants. And often I'll see a parent with children, maybe several children, and they're misbehaving, and the parent is yelling at the child. And I'll go out of my way to, as I'm passing them, before I get to them, I'll say, what beautiful children you have, how lucky you are. And 99% of the time, if that child is old enough to understand what I'm saying, they look at me and smile, and it calms the parent down.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Timothy, because it's that stranger on the train experience where we're reaching out to someone and feeling their heart in that moment, the frustration for the parent, the sense of, will this ever end, right? And it takes someone who's been there, a little older and wiser, to be able to look over and say, I get how you're feeling, right? That wordless knowing just by one comment.
Just those comments just seem to diffuse everything. The child sometimes looks at me, smiles, looks at their parent, smiles. The parent calms down. Seems like it helps diffuse the anxiety.
Well, and it's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because it reminds me of another stranger interaction when my oldest daughter, who's now 29, was two or three. We were in the Williams Brothers, if you want me to date myself to all of you locals here. We were in the grocery store, and she had a fit in the store. And I'm a new mom, and she threw herself on the floor and just screaming and making a scene. And I didn't know what to do, so I just walked down away from her. And I kind of looked back to see what she was doing. And these two older ladies, kind of grandma age ladies, walked up to her down the aisle and looked down and said, "My, you are making a scene. How embarrassing." And my daughter stopped and looked around and realized I wasn't there and didn't know who these people were. And she completely pulled herself together and stood up.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. And I always wanted to run up and hug those ladies because I didn't know what to do in that moment. And they just kind of settled the whole thing down and went about their business.
Right. Like in the grocery store, kids having a fit, I say to the parent, "What aisle did you find that one in? I want one."
Well, and I guess it does. It's so much easier just to look and be judgmental of what we're seeing and to kind of step aside and have empathy, right? See people through our heart. It's a much different exchange.
Absolutely. And thank you for your show, Elizabeth.
Thanks for taking the time to call. You brought up a couple great points. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, 805-781-3875. You know, I love this conversation because we do have these random experiences in many different ways. And I'm curious to know, has there been that random conversation that changed your life or might have healed you in some way? Is there that random conversation with a stranger that sent your life in a different direction, that changed the course of your life? And I talked about Martin Buber and how he talked about our receptiveness, our being open, you know, having that ability to put aside our own troubles, our own life, and really be there present for another person when they need us. You know, have you ever had that opportunity to share your story with someone who didn't interject and tell their story? Or have you been able to listen to someone and not feel compelled to interject yours? I'm curious to know. I'm curious to know how this is hitting you today. 805-781-3875. Hi, Bill. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I've talked to you before. You may recognize my voice. But anyway, the way I interact with strangers is that I go to a lot of garage sales on Saturdays,
mm-hmm.
and I use a wheelchair, and it gives people an opportunity to see me as a person that they can relate to on another level, and just a person in a wheelchair. And, you know, when I start asking about tools and things like that, you know, they can relate to me on another level than, you know, how fast does your wheelchair go, or, you know, those kinds of conversation that I get really tired of.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met a lot of interesting folks that way.
Well, I imagine garage sales are great, too, for meeting people because you're seeing a kind of a snapshot of their life and the things that they've gathered over the years. So I imagine you find out some really interesting things about the items that people have carried with them and are now letting go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting sociological experience. But I would also like to add that people in wheelchairs aren't dangerous or scary, or you know, you can relate to them, and I encourage able-bodied people to you know, make some contact and don't necessarily talk about the wheelchair.
And I appreciate that also because, you know, I think a lot of the times what's the barrier for interaction is people are concerned about saying something dumb, so they say nothing at all, and then we end up with no connection.
Yeah, actually, that happened to me recently at a garage sale. And I was wearing UGG boots on a kind of a warm day, and this woman says, "Aren't your feet hot?" And I had to explain to her that, you know, I don't feel my shoes, so, you know, it's not a fashion statement, or, you know, I'm not uncomfortable. And she fell all over herself, you know, apologizing, and I said, no, no, it's okay. You don't have to. It's just a question.
I know, and it is. And I think sometimes, along with the stranger conversations leading us to great things, sometimes saying the most embarrassing thing that we feel like will cause us to have to move away ends up being the thing that endears us to other people, right? That we show our own humanness by saying something that would be considered off or odd. So I encourage both things, the stranger conversations and taking the chance of saying something that might be considered odd.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks
okay.
for calling in, Bill.
Okay, sure. Bye.
We're talking about stranger experiences, and I was inspired by the show because if you've tuned in the last few weeks, I tend to like to have interviews with people that I've met randomly for whatever reason. Last week, we talked to Doug Hoyman, and Doug I just met through a random exchange of emails, and I found him fascinating, and we just connected, and we talked last week. And then Emily Mumford that I met in Montgomery. And last December, I had a random conversation with someone who ended up connecting me to a program that was in Washington, D.C. that I'm now very involved in. Just a random conversation about something that normally I wouldn't talk about, but I just kind of felt inspired to strike up this conversation. You know, so when has that happened to you? When have you had that opportunity, or do you not? What prevents you from having those conversations? Do you hide out in your phone? Do you notice your kids hiding out in their phone? And what is our responsibility as parents for helping our children learn how to connect with others? Because ultimately, the whole purpose of life is to be in connection with others, right? To be able to see all of humanity as being more like us than different, to be able to find ways that we are sharing this journey together. And so how do we make those connections? When was the last time you had a really great heart-to-heart with someone that just made you feel good when you got up and walked away? Or do you feel like you're someone who provides those opportunities? This is a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist, 805-781-3875. Francesca, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Ah, good afternoon, Elizabeth. Yes, I've had so many wonderful random conversations, as you have. But when they were talking about children, it brought me way back to when I had three little tiny children, 13 months apart, and pregnant with the fourth. And I'm going down with a stroller, trying to get my children down the road as a single mother, trying to catch that bus. And people are looking at me and putting me down and everything. You should do something with those children and that. And some ladies behind me said, oh, you poor girl, you're having a lot of difficulties, aren't you? And I said, yes. And that really brought it home to somebody cared. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that little random conversation helped me through the rest of that trip and along the way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's just knowing that you've been seen, right? That you're not invisible in the world is really powerful.
And somebody cared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and related to how you were feeling.
Yes.
Thank you, Francesca.
That really brought it home.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think that touches a lot of people. And I keep thinking also to all of us who are at that elder stage in our life to take the time to have empathy for our younger generation who might be struggling and trying to balance it all and do it all right and to just turn and say something.
Yes, yes. And now as one of the elderly, I am looking at that too.
Well, and also it goes conversely because I hear from a lot of my elder friends that they start to feel invisible at some point, that the young people don't acknowledge their presence, and that can be very lonely on both ends of the spectrum when you're challenging, you know, struggling, trying to manage all your children and your life. But when you're alone and older, in the older years, that it's easy to be dismissed or to ignore it, and how important it is to stop and have a conversation with someone who's sitting by themselves having a cup of coffee and might have a really important story to share.
Living in a senior park, I see that a lot. I'm very blessed in having people that care around me and having a life full of adventure and excitement because I have been able to talk to other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the other assignments that I give to my students every quarter is to interview an elderly person, someone who's 75 or older. And it's funny, when I started giving this assignment, I said someone 65 or older, but 65-year-olds were way too young, and 70-year-olds were too young. And so I pushed it to 75. And last quarter, I decided 75-year-olds are too young. I need to interview someone 80 plus because, you know, they have to have had enough life experience to be ready to kind of look back and tell their story. And what's powerful about these interviews is that it's not only eye-opening to my students, right, to hear someone who everyone has a story, and they may look deceiving, like they're frail or, you know, uninteresting. But when you start to hear their life and all the things they've done, my students are always transformed, always transformed. But I also hear from the elderly people who've donated their time or volunteered their time to tell their story, what a powerful experience it's been for them to just share their story with a stranger, to have this young person who doesn't know anything about them just listen and know that they existed, that another human being has heard about their life and how powerful that experience is for them.
I was working through at rest homes through Hancock College, and oh my gosh, the experiences and stories that I used to get mm-hmm. through these people, and they were, some of them were very famous people mm-hmm. in their time, mm-hmm. and now they're just sitting there lonely mm-hmm. and fragile. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's a wonderful thing you're doing with them.
Well,
and feel free to talk to me anytime, too.
Well, Francesca, if you hit my age range, leave your information with Jordan, because I'm always looking for seniors that my students can interview. So if you're serious, Jordan can pick up the phone and get your information.
Okay, will do.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Francesca. I'll hand you over to Jordan. And Charlie, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Okay. Yeah, I had an experience. I was on a flight coming back to California. There's this delightful kind of late middle age lady, and we're just delightful. And then find out she was going to visit her daughter in California. Then she said she's dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. She didn't look sick at all, and she's undergoing chemotherapy and was kind of in, you know, rich, but was just making sure that she had, you know, that she used her remaining time effectively.
And how did that conversation impact you?
Well, it just felt good. I mean, just, you know, I was an active surgical active Air Force practice at the time. So to see somebody with an advanced cancer doing well and going to therapy was very helpful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a little moment in time. Mm-hmm. It was a longish flight, so we had enough time to chat a bit.
Well, and interesting also that she felt for some reason that you were the right person to tell this story to, that she could sense that you would get it, and she was right.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you mentioned Martin Buber.
Yes.
I first ran into, there's a book, Ten Makers of Modern Protestant Thought, which he's elected, and then I read his book, I Thou.
Yes.
And I really relate to that.
And that's what I'm referencing today, is a lot of the ideas and the philosophy in I Thou, which is challenging to read. So I admire you for being able to work through that. But yeah, I do think his idea of existence, our mere existence, is the opportunity for encounters with others, and that our whole purpose of being here is in those encounters we have, to have conscious interactions. I just find it really beautiful and inspiring, because I think we spend a lot of our life being very alone.
In the other person, you find God in the person. He calls God the eternal vow.
Hmm. Well, I don't know if
you remember that phrase.
I might have to get my book out, Charlie.
You're basically that's when you realize that you're working on a in these brief encounters, even whether they're brief or long, that you're reaching, you're seeing things that are really spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of reminded your guy who talked to the Buddhist monk, or yeah. the Thai Buddhist monk.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we never know how we're going to touch into someone's other their life and have our own life touched in deep ways. Thank you for taking the time to call in, Charlie.
Okay, very good. We'll talk to you later here.
All righty. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You're listening to KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. And we get to get together every Tuesday to have these conversations. And I love that I can throw something random, like a random conversation out, and so many of you are willing to participate. And we still have a few more minutes, so if you'd like to call in and share your stranger on the train story or that random conversation that changed your life, I'd love to hear from you. If not, you can always participate by going to our webpage, thereluctanttherapist.com. You can like us on Facebook if you'd like to keep up with what's going on with the show. KCBX.org has a lot of great information, and also you can catch previous shows there. And as I mentioned earlier, we are on iTunes now. So if you're someone who is tech savvy and wants to subscribe to the show, you go into iTunes and plug in The Reluctant Therapist and the show comes up, and you can get the shows each week and listen to them whenever you'd like. So at the top of the show, I opened up about my experience with random conversations and how they'd really changed my life, and that I've been so, just awakened by conversations. I've had my life's direction changed by conversations, and I was curious to know if anyone else had had those experiences. 805-781-3875. And one of the random conversations I had about 30 years ago, I was with a woman who was wearing a necklace that I really thought was beautiful. It was kind of a goddessy looking necklace. And I just said to her, you know, oh, and she just seemed like that person you wanted to talk to. You know, she just had that vibe, that feeling, that openness of her heart. And I said, I really love this necklace. And she said, oh, it's a goddess necklace. And I can't now remember which goddess it was. And I said, oh, where did you find that? And she said, well, I'm a student at Pacifica Graduate Institute, and I got it there. And I had never heard of Pacifica Graduate Institute. So she told me about the school and told me about some of the things that she learned. And she was studying to be a depth psychologist and psychotherapist. And she told me about Jean Shinoda Bolen and the goddess in every woman. And if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you know that I'm a Pacifica graduate. And Jean Shinoda Bolen became my idol after reading The Goddess in Every Woman. And that path, those doors opened just because of this conversation I struck up with this woman about a piece of jewelry she was wearing. And I can't tell you how profoundly going through that door into studying a Pacifica and learning a whole new way of approaching life changed my life direction and the life direction of my family and my children. So I, as you can tell, I'm really inspired by taking the chance to have those conversations. Hey, Lorelei, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, hello. Yes, I wanted to tell, I used to work at the Earthling Bookshop in San Luis Obispo, speaking of dating myself.
I remember
and,
it.
Yeah, and a young man was looking at some books about plants, and we started talking about plants, and he told me that he was replanting the sandwort, which was becoming extinct. And I said I was interested in that, and so I went to his home and found out he was a ceramic artist, and we've been friends for 25 years. And so I was so glad that I made that connection.
And that you took the chance to start the conversation at all.
Exactly, yeah.
And what is the sandwort?
It's a little small succulent type plant that grows in the bog on the Napomo Mesa.
Oh. And was he successful in kind of regenerating?
He was, yeah.
That's a wonderful story. Thank you, Lorelei, for calling in.
Okay.
And Jennifer, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I had an experience a few weeks ago. I was in a store with my son, and my son's disabled. He's about 13 years old, and he was in his wheelchair, and he doesn't speak. And this old man was just looking at him, and he just saw me, and he turned to me, and he said, you know, is this your son? And I said, yes. And he said, he told me that he asked if he could give him something. And he handed me $20. And I said, no, that's okay. And he said, he started telling me that his daughter had been hit by a car when she was 5 years old, and she ended up being blind in a wheelchair for the rest of her life, and how it really destroyed his, almost destroyed his family. And it was just so powerful to me. Like, I left and I just cried because he begged me to take the $20, and I still carry it around because I don't know what to do with it because I don't want to spend it mm-hmm. on anything but my son. But it was just such a reminder of how people with disabilities were, you know, families who had children with disabilities felt years ago, because I don't, my family hasn't been destroyed at all by this. In fact, I think it's been a great gift in our lives. But mm-hmm. to hear this man and to see how moved he was by seeing my son, and he was very, like, he must have been in his 80s. So this was, must have been a long, long time ago that mm-hmm. his family went through this, and his daughter is no longer living. But he just, you know, I remember his name, and I remember, and I'll always remember the sort of how I felt in that moment. And I phoned all of my friends afterwards to say, you wouldn't believe what happened. And it was just such a powerful encounter. And I talk to everybody when I'm out, you know, especially with my son, because people are curious, and I just want them to be more comfortable and appreciative of people with disabilities.
I love that story from both angles, Jennifer. One, that you make your life accessible to others so that they don't live in fear that they can come to you. But also, I can imagine carrying that $20 bill as some sort of emotional touchstone for you for the rest of your life, that whenever
yeah.
you do feel challenged, you look at that, and it changes the moment, I'm sure.
Actually, that's a really great way of looking at it. I hadn't thought of that. But yeah, because I can't see myself spending it unless suddenly something so important and significant just jumps out at me one day and it has a $20 price tag on it. I'm going to say, this must be what John wanted me to get him. And that'll be that.
Absolutely. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And Conan, did I say it pronounce your name correctly?
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. You get the last story of the day.
Oh, I do.
Yes,
well,
you do.
I feel honored. A long time ago, I heard a quote. It's an old Japanese saying that the 10 greatest people you'll meet in your life, you meet by accident. Mm. And I read that when I was young, and it really changed my perspective on things. I mean, I've always been kind of an outgoing person and never afraid to meet people, but I really go out of my way to start up conversations, you know, if I see something interesting going on, you know, I want to know about them. So I go and, you know, talk with them. And it led to a career choice. You know, I ended up becoming a photographer. And for when I started out, I did, you know, photojournalism and stuff like that. Make me to, you know, some, that drive to get to know interesting people. And it has led to some of the craziest experiences in my life. I mean, I ended up in a circus for a while as a performer because of it, because I just randomly went up and talked to somebody at some art event. And, you know, all the way to my wife I met by accident, because I, you know, struck up a conversation with an artist that I liked. And, you know, that's the most life-changing thing so far. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I came out of a horrible divorce. You know, it crushed my world. And I was, you know, in one of those really bad spaces. And, you know, after something like that, you don't go out thinking, like, the next day you want to find a relationship the next day. You think you want to be alone, you want to, you know, work things through and stuff like that. But a month after this horrible divorce, you know, I forced myself to get out and start talking to people. And a month after that, you know, I met the love of my life just by starting up a conversation.
That's
you know,
a-
and if I would have walled myself off, you know, and retreated it.
You would have missed.
I would never miss that.
You would have missed one of your 10 people. Conan, thank
yeah.
you. That was the perfect story to end our day today. I love that we all have this shared experience together each week. I appreciate participating in the conversations. I look forward to continuing next Tuesday at 2. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Thank you for supporting Public Radio, KCBX.